worthy.
Well, good morning. Turn around to a neighbor, shake their hands, let them know that you're happy to see them this morning, and we will get started. Well, I'm excited to be back with you for the second week. If you don't know, Pastor Bob went on a trip with his son, taking some time to spend with his son. And from what I hear, they're coming back with some pretty big animals, so we'll wait to see. But we want to keep him and Ashton in our prayers as they are traveling, making their way back. He wanted me to send his love for each one of you and to let you know that he will be back next week. So we're excited to hear from him. We're excited for God to speak through him. And we're praying for traveling mercies. Now, a lot of you have seen me last week, and you've seen me over the last couple weeks. Some of you know who I am. Some of you have no clue who I am. So this morning, before I get started, I was just going to introduce myself just a little bit. My name is Bobby Knipe. I was a youth pastor for many, many years. And after 10 years of youth ministry, I knew God was calling me to this area. And through much prayer and sacrifice on behalf of my family, we began to start a church in the Great Bridge area. And as we started that, I'd had several meetings with Pastor Bob and knew that his heart was to come into Great Bridge. And I knew that his heart was for the people of Great Bridge. And the church that I had started was already right here in Great Bridge High School. And so after a couple meetings and a couple times speaking with him, it became pretty apparent that we were both called to this area. And so we met and agreed that he's called to be a senior pastor. He is gifted with leadership. He is gifted with people. He is gifted with sharing God's word. And when people hear it, they respond. And my heart is students. And so I took on the role at Genesis as youth pastor about 4 weeks ago. Maybe five. I may be off on that a week or so. But since then, we have began to meet in my house, some students. And we are beginning to build the youth ministry right here in Great Bridge. And there are thousands and thousands of students that go to Great Bridge High School, that goes to Grassfield High School, that goes to Hickory High School, that are not reached. We know that some of them go to Young Life and some things like that, but ultimately, there's not a place for teenagers to call home. And that's what we want with our youth ministry at Genesis, is for the teenagers throughout the area to be able to call Genesis their home. There's about 38,000 teenagers within 5 miles of us. About 1,000 of them go to church. So there's 37,000 to be reached. So the job is huge, but our God is huge. So we're going to put our trust in Him. If you have any questions about youth ministry, we're beginning here in the next 2 weeks to start a cafe out in the hallway. And you'll begin to see things start to take off with the youth ministry. If you have teenagers, let me know. Been through anything that you can imagine with teenagers. You know, a lot of people don't like to minister to teenagers. They think that they're hard or they're messy or they're disrespectful. But what I've found is when you have a teenager who is sold out for Christ, they are super impactful in reaching their generation, reaching their people. And so that's who we want to reach. We want to be able to reach those students. And that is our goal for Genesis. So that's a little bit about where I'm at. So you will see me around. Again, any questions about youth ministry, or if you have a teenager, please let me know. We would love for them to be a part of that. So let's go to the Lord this morning. And we're going to get excited. And we're going to get started in the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, God, speak to us. Clear our minds, clear our hearts. of everything other than you. Prepare us to hear from you this morning. God, speak boldly through your word into our life. Allow us to be obedient to your word. We love you this morning, and we thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're excited to be here this morning, let me hear you say amen. 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 All right. I am a traveler. And if you know me or you ever talk to me, you'll know that I love to travel. And I love to go to Florida. That is like the place that I flock to. If you want to know anything about Florida, that's where my wife's from. I've probably been there 30 or 40 times. And maybe one day when I can't walk anymore, I'll live there. But when I was in school, attending Liberty University, I met my wife. And she decided all of a sudden that she wanted to take a trip to Ocala, Florida. Now, you don't expect Florida to be farmlands, but Ocala is the farmland. Matter of fact, George Steinbrenner has a horse farm there. And so we made our way there. We had a great trip. And we decided we were going to go to Daytona Beach. And so we were heading down to Daytona Beach and just not paying attention to anything. Just driving along, probably going too fast, maybe 75, 80. Not sure. My wife was driving, so she was speeding. It was on her. But it started to rain. And we're driving along, and we come across this curve. And all of a sudden, our car started to hydroplane. And it was like a surreal moment where everything stopped. And I don't know if this sounds really weird, but it was really cool. Because we were hydroplaning and everything was going slow until we nailed the tree. We slid down into the embankment. We nailed this tree. All the glass was shattered. The car was just totaled. It was a mess. And of course, being a teenage guy and dumb, you say dumb things. So immediately after the wreck, I had a friend with me and we began to laugh, which is probably not the appropriate response. But at the time, we were young. And the police came. Has anybody seen the show with Bill Cosby, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Am I like the only one out here that knows this show? Am I that old? Well, I said the darndest thing when the police came. They came, they inspected, you know, the scene, and they were on the spot. And I wanted to go play with the radar in his car. So I was going to bribe him. I was going to bribe the cop. Probably not a good idea. But even worse, I tried to bribe him with a box of donuts. Well, I don't know. But that was not very smart. The cop didn't take too kindly of it. In everything that we do in life, there's consequences. There's consequences. In that situation, there was consequences. Luckily, it wasn't a ticket. But everything that we do in life, there's consequences. Last week, we talked about thankfulness. We talked about what it was to understand our level of faith, knowing that our level of faith reveals our level of spiritual maturity. And our spiritual maturity reveals our level of thankfulness. We talked about the need to be thankful for the material things, for the homes, for the clothes, for the things that we have in life. But most importantly, we talked about the immaterial things. We talked about God's goodness. We talked about God's love and what it was to love God for who He was. And we want to continue with that thought this week. We want to build on the thought of so what. So what? Last week we talked about being thankful for the immaterial things, being thankful for God and who He is and His work and what He's done for us and in us and through us. So what? So what's the result? So what is the consequence? That's where we're going to dwell this morning. That's what we're going to answer this morning is, so what now? Now that we're growing, Now that we really understand what it is to be thankful, now that we understand what it is to spiritually grow, now what? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Last week I had somebody ask me this question, so I want to go ahead and clarify this. Typically, I speak out of the New King James. That's my favorite translation, if you want to know. But this message specifically is coming from the Message because of the wording that I want you to hear from it. So some of the words may sound different or be a little different, but stick with me and you'll understand it. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says this: I, Peter, an apostle on assignment by Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not one forgotten. Listen to this verse. God the Father has His eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Holy Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have. Notice Peter's view here. Peter's view here is very simple. It's that God has His eyes on us. Now, when we think about that, it's typically we think, oh, God is just like a big brother and He's looking down on everything that we're doing wrong. And if we do something wrong, there's going to be a huge spotlight on that blemish, on that sin, on that problem. But that's not what it's saying here. What it's saying is simply is that God is concerned with every detail of our life. He's concerned with every detail of your life. He's concerned with every detail of my life. He's working in us. Once we've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us and fills us. And every believer is filled by the Holy Spirit to protect us, to guide us, to transform us from the inside out, as we talked about last week, and has sealed us until the final day. As stated in Ephesians, God passionately cares for you, watches you, is concerned for you. God passionately, and I don't know that the words that we say can fully express the passionate love that our God has for each one of us. It's hard to put it in our words and be able to understand the full power and the ramifications about the greatness of the love that comes from God. It's way past even our understanding. But in what we can understand is that God passionately loves each one of us. And so some of us here this morning may be saying, so what? I don't want to be in my marriage no more. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I don't want to be at this job anymore. I don't care. You may not even have a clue why you even woke up and walked in this building and showed up this morning. You're at that point in your life. And the most important thing to know, if that is you this morning, is that God will never, no, never give up on you. No matter the sin, no matter the relationship, no matter where you're at, to understand that God will never give up on you is important to being thankful. So important. He's watching over us, and He's working for us. And no wonder, notice in verse number 3, what does it say? It says, what a God we have. What a mighty God we have. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we love. Wow. What a mighty God we worship. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that the God that we love, the God that we serve, has made us, protects us, lives in us, guides us, teaches us, molds us, transforms us? Are these things that honestly we can say that we think through? What a mighty God we serve. Let's keep on going. Verses 3 through 12. Peter really gets it here too. He nails it. What a God we have. How fortunate we are to have Him. This Father, our Master Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel. Even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime, pure gold put in the fire comes out if it's proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, not your wealth, not your possessions, that God will have on display as evidence of His victory. You never saw Him, yet you love Him. You still don't see Him, yet you trust Him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing. You'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. The prophets who told us this was coming asked a lot of questions about the gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah's Spirit led them onto some of it, that the Messiah would experience suffering followed by glory. They clamored to know who and when. All they were told was that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? The angels would have given anything to be in on this. Peter gets it. He totally gets it here. And Peter understands what it is to be thankfulness. His thankfulness flows throughout all the verses that we just read. And what's interesting is the proof that we have that Peter was thankful. Not only by what he said, not only by the words that he used, but also by the words he didn't use. See, during this time, the church was going through all kinds of persecution. And it would have been very easy for Peter to complain. Peter was known as a talker. Peter was a leader. Matter of fact, in his life, he probably could have become a bully if God hadn't intervened and came into his life. But Peter, through this persecution, through this trials and these tribulations, Peter was thankful. When we go through trials and tribulations, are we thankful? What's missing in this passage that I talked about was the lack of complaining. And when we are truly thankful, we will be less likely to complain and more likely to rejoice. You want to see somebody who is thankful for God? I will show you somebody who rejoices. See, a person who fully understands who God is and is thankful for God, when you look at them, their language and who they are speaks rejoicing. When you look at a person who fully understands who God is, they speak blessings into people. They speak love into people. They speak peace into people. They speak joy into people. You find somebody who isn't thankful, you'll find somebody speaking the language of complaining, negativity, bitterness. Do you know somebody like that? See, it's very easy to see when we really sit down and we really think about it and we really contemplate it. When we see somebody who loves God, who knows God and is thankful for God, we will know and see somebody who is rejoicing, who has songs on their lips, that is constantly speaking love into people and peace into people and joy into people. Every morning when I walk in, Miss Kim always is speaking love into me. That shows me her thankfulness for God. See, a lot of times we like to masquerade walking into a building, into a church, and putting a checklist that we showed up. But it's more than that. You find that person who is thankful for God, you will find somebody speaking joy and peace and love into people instead of complaining and bitterness and gossip. Because that's not of the Lord. And when we speak that into people, we're speaking problems and heaviness and not the peace of God. Keep on going. As we keep on going, we see through the death and resurrection of Christ, we have been given a new life. Though we may experience pain, though we may experience suffering, though we may go through hard times now, there's going to be a time, as the scripture said, that we will be completely healed. We'll be completely whole. And that day is when we can stand face to face with Jesus to thank Him. And it's in this hope that Peter was thankful. It's this hope that made Daniel thankful in the lion's den. It's this hope that when I was going through all kinds of issues away from God, walking on my own path, and God restored me, it's through this hope that I can be thankful. It's this hope to understand that God will give to you and He will take to you, but no matter what, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter if we have everything. It doesn't matter if we have nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thankful for who He is. Thankful that His Son left heaven to come to earth so that He can cover our sins. Let's keep on going. Let's kind of look in verse 10 through 12. Talking about the prophets. The prophets didn't understand this. And this leads us to a very important point, is that spiritual maturity does not equal spiritual knowledge. I want you to think about it. The prophets had all this knowledge, but there wasn't a whole lot of spiritual maturity going on. And it's a principle and an understanding for us to know is that spiritual maturity does not equal spiritual knowledge. How many of you know that most often people want more and more of God? I watch as people come into the doors. I watch as people look around and see people just worshiping God, and they're longing for God to reveal Himself to them. They come in and they're expecting, and they have an expecting heart to want to come in, and they want God to reveal Himself totally to them. How many of you know somebody like that? You see it in worship. But here's the problem. They haven't been obedient to what God has already revealed to them. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's talking to you." How many of you know people want God to reveal Himself, but they are not willing to be obedient to God's truth that He's already presented to us in His Word? God, give to us. Give to me. I want to see You. I want to see Your face. I want to hear from You, God, but I don't want to obey You. Huh? How can we expect for God to fully reveal Himself to us when we're not willing to be obedient to the truth that He's already revealed to us? We need to be thankful for what God has already revealed to us and learn to obey those truths. When we learn to obey the truth of God, when we learn to obey His Word, we will begin to take the next step of spiritual maturity. But it's understanding that obedience is what leads to that. Obedience and thankfulness is what leads to God revealing Himself to you. And then when you come in to worship, it's not about the music, it's all about Him. It's about thanking Him and praising Him and putting the focus on Him. It's not about opening my hands up, sticking my hands up to see who can see me. It's all about being able to say, "God, thank You. I see You. You have revealed Yourself to me through my obedience." And the more that you're obedient, the closer that you're going to grow to Christ. And the closer that you grow to Christ, the more intimate your worship will be. The more intimate your worship will be, the more that God will reveal to Himself. The more that you'll hear from God, and you'll see God, and you'll live for God, and you will begin to understand thankfulness in its entirety. Let's look at the second half of the chapter so we can understand and we can begin to see the result of the attitude of thankfulness that permeates throughout Peter's writings. We're going to start in verse 13, and we'll read through 16. You need to roll up your sleeves here. It's going to get good. It says this, "Roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better than you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, 'I am holy, you be holy.'" You see, if we're thankful, we're not going to go lock ourselves up in an ivory tower and just praise Jesus all day when people are all around us in our community aren't going to spend eternity with heaven. That's not how it's going to work. If we're truly thankful, we want to be able to not only share God's word, but also share the thankfulness. We're grateful for the new life that we just talked about. There will be serious, serious consequences. But the beauty of these consequences are that they're positive. Because there can be positive and there can be negative consequences. And as the scriptures say, we need to get our mind in gear. We need to be ready to roll up our sleeves. We need to be ready to go to work for the Lord. Because it says very simply, if we're lazy, it's easy to go to those old habits, to go down the old path, doing the old things, going insane, doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. We have to engage our mind and tune them in to God and God's word. We have to roll up our sleeves, be thankful, and go to the work because of our hope that we have in Christ. That will help us stay away from going down the old roads that we used to live, the old paths that we used to live before we knew God. Now, holiness, I want to talk about a little bit. If you look, it says in the bottom part of this verse 16, it says, "As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness." God says, "I am holy, you be holy." Now let's talk about holiness. Holiness is not looking down at your neighbor thinking that you're holier than thou. We all know people that are holier than thou. When we walk around, when we look in our neighborhoods, when we look in the churches, we see people who think that they're holier than thou. That somehow that God has created them with some special value. And it doesn't work that way because God has created every single person with the same value and loves every single person the same. I have no different value than anybody else in this room. He's not talking about this holier than thou mentality. And it's important to understand that. Holiness is recognizing our sinfulness. Recognizing our sinfulness and that we are separated from a sinless creator who is God. But, and I always love the buts, that is until Jesus stepped in. Here's where it gets good. Our great God bridged the gap between God and man. When Jesus died on the cross, he was a substitute for our sin. He made a way for us back to God. He rose from the grave, breaking the power of sin, conquering death, and gaining victory for eternity. Wow. The result, the consequence of a grateful life is holiness translated into obedience. When I look at my personal life and the life that I was living when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, a life that was far from God. When I look at that life, the only way that I could have been saved was from God. I was on my own path, doing my own thing in my own heart, in my own spirit, going my own direction because I thought that I was going to conquer the world. I was going to play pro baseball. I was going to have all the women in the world that I had and I needed and all the money. I thought I had it all planned and put together until one Saturday morning when I woke up and I realized that my life was nothing without God. That's when I began to become obedient. When I began to understand who God was, when I was willing to get to know Him, to build a relationship with Him, to experience His love. When I began to say, God, here is my life, take it, mold it, direct it. When I began to do that and I began to become thankful, what you've seen as a result of that is I became obedient. I stopped drinking. I stopped partying. I stopped immediately. And I know it sounds really crazy to you, but that day I went home. The next week I was enrolled at Liberty University. And if you're ever around me, I'm always going to promote Liberty, so you can tell me all your favorite colleges. But my love for Liberty is deep because of what it did in my life at that time. When I went there, there were people there helping me and guiding me and showing me what it was to be obedient to God. What it was to be thankful. You see, holiness is translated into obedience, which is a deep result of thankfulness for our God. Very simply put. So my question is to you this morning is, how thankful are you? Or put another way, how obedient are you to God? It's a serious question that nobody can answer. Nobody can answer but you. But to fully understand the concept and the enormity of thankfulness, you have to first understand the importance of obedience. And obedience isn't a thing where we have a list of rules and we're like, oh man, I got to check off this, I got to check off this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Oh, and if I do this, God loves me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying obedience that is so deep that your main desire is to do whatever it is to please the Father. In your life, in your wording, in your prayers, in your relationships, everything about you, you have a deep desire to please God, to serve God, to be obedient through your thankfulness for God. Let's keep on going. Verse 18 through 25. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead end, empty life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought, even though it has only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge. God always knew He was going to do this for you. It is because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God has raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Our primary result of thankfulness is an outflow of love. Because of what God did for us, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have love for God. And the natural overflow of that is we have love one for another. In the world that we live in, it's hard to see love because of the me mentality. It's hard to look around your neighborhood. It's hard to look at your neighbor. It's hard to look at your coworker and truly see love. Matter of fact, I think love is very skewed to our children. I think that we skew it even at home with our relationships within our marriages and within our families and with our children. Love is so often skewed. I remember an old ancient parable where this Chinese man saw two banquet tables. He saw a banquet table in heaven, and he saw a banquet table in hell. And he looked down at the banquet table in hell, and he seen a beautiful spread of food. And all these people around it were crying. And he said, "What's the matter? You have all this food. What's going on?" He's like, "All that we have to eat this food with is a 10-foot spoon, and we can't figure out how to feed ourselves." The same Chinese guy looked up to the banquet table in heaven and seen all these people rejoicing. He seen all these people that were happy. And he asked them, "Why are you so happy?" "Because the people in heaven learn how to take that 10-foot fork and feed each other." Love is all about serving one another. If you see true love, you see someone serving another. First Corinthians chapter 13 makes it very clear that love must be demonstrated in action. And the action is very simple. It's serving. See, when you have a wife that loves a husband, when you have a husband that loves a wife, when you have a family that loves a child, or you have a relationship that you love this person, or you look out into the world and because of what Jesus done for you, you love the world. Out of that love, you will love others. And so what does that love look like demonstrated in action? It looks like serving. How many people do you serve? In your own personal life, when you think about it, in your mind, as you're sitting there and you're going through this and you're thinking about this thing called love, how many people do you serve in your life? That will probably show you how many people you truly love. Serving is the action that comes and is the result of love. This is the answer. Obedience. Love. So what? So what? This answers that question. So what? Love and obedience. That is the result. When you look in thankfulness in its entirety and what it looks like and how we live it out, is simply obedience and serving. Obedient to God because of your love for God, your passionate, deep love for God, and serving because of what God did for you, you love Him, which translates into loving the people that He has created by serving. And that starts in the home. That starts with our spouses. Starts with our family, with our kids. Then it goes outside and permeates everything that we touch. A person that is full of love is a person who serves. That is a result of the wholeness of thankfulness for God. Understand, if we go back to verse 1 and 2 really quickly, it says, "I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not forgotten. God the Father," here we go, "God the Father has His eyes on us." Now here's where it gets even better. "And has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through sacrifice of Jesus." It's not us. It's never us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that results in our life. Now, that gets kind of deep when we really think about it and we really play it out in our minds. It's not us. See, once we give our our hearts to Christ, the Spirit indwells us, convicts us, teaches us, and moves us. And then, through the Spirit, we love, serve, and are obedient. So, when we bring everything to a conclusion on thankfulness and thanksgiving and all these different things that we're thinking about when it comes to just thankfulness, it's hard without really digging into the Scriptures to come to those two words. Obedience and love. If we truly wrap our minds, we as a church, if we truly wrap our minds around what it is to be truly thankful, then through our obedience, people will see Christ through us. Through us serving and loving other people, they will see Christ through us. And that will draw them in to a relationship with Christ. This auditorium couldn't seat the people that would come if we would be obedient and we would love others by serving them because we are truly thankful. Think about it. We have a lot of people traveling this morning from Thanksgiving. But you're here every Sunday. Think about if our life, if every person in each one of these seats truly in their life is obedient to God and loves others because of what Christ did and serves others, what an impact we would make on this city. Right? We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be Jesus to this world. But our problem is we keep it in our mouth and deny it by our lifestyle. Right? So if we translate this to understand that we cannot deny Christ by our lifestyle has to represent obedience and love because of our thankfulness, then what's going to happen is true thankfulness and joy and peace that is permanent and is forever and not temporary happiness that we get on the things that rot away. But we have a true joy and peace with God because of our relationship with God. And what's going to happen as we do that and we're truly thankful and Christ is shining through us, everybody who sees us will see Christ shining through us. That's where we want to be. And the final result of thankfulness and the final result of what God's done for us, how can we not be obedient? Not because there's some list of rules. And if you really want to get technical, there was only one rule ever written and we broke that one. It's not about that. It's about an intimate thankfulness and love for your God. Because what He's done for you, what He's doing in you, and what He's doing through you. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we close. Just kind of thinking and wrapping our minds around this. It gets pretty deep when you really think about it. Thankfulness isn't shallow. It's not meant to be shallow. It's deep. It permeates our heart and our soul and our thoughts. Because of the greatness of God, we can be obedient and we can serve. With your heads bowed, I have this question for you. This morning, as you're sitting in that seat, are you at a place in your life where you're willing to yield to the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to yield to God? Are you willing to yield your life to God out of thankfulness for what He's done for you? I just want you to think about it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands there. I just want you to think about that. Are you willing, as you're sitting there, are you willing to be obedient to God's Word? It's a question I ask myself all the time. My head always says, yeah. Sometimes my heart don't match it. We have to be at a place in our life where we're willing to be obedient to God and God's Word. Are you in a place right now where you want God. You want to place your faith in God. You want to be obedient to God's word. You just want to have a relationship with God that you don't have right now. My question, are you willing to come to Jesus right now? Not to Genesis, not to Bobby, not to Pastor Bob, not to none of that. To Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, who died on the cross in your place. Are you willing to begin a new journey with Him if you don't already have one? Are you willing to trust your Heavenly Father and be so thankful that you would walk obediently in His holiness, separated from sin? Is that where you're at this morning? How many of you here this morning would say, Bobby, I'm ready and willing to the best of my ability to be obedient to God because of my thankfulness for what He's done? How many of you out there would say that? Could you just slip your hands up and put them right back down? I'm not trying to have you hold them up. Is there anyone out there who doesn't know God, isn't on a journey with God, but would like to begin that journey by saying, God, my faith is in You and what Your Son did on the cross through His death, His burial, and defeat in the grave. I want to have a new journey of faith in You, God. Is there anybody out there that would say, that's where I'm at? Slip your hands up and you put them right back down. Is there anyone out there who's in a place in their life where they just need to hear from God? But they haven't yet. You haven't yet. Knowing what you heard today, that you will hear from God, the more obedient and thankful you are, the more that God will reveal Himself. If you're going through that problem, you just want to hear from God this morning, I want to pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up and just slip them right back down. Slip them right back down. I want to pray for you this morning as we close. Father, You see our hearts. You know our minds. Father, You know our thoughts. And right now, Lord, we know that You called us to love others and to be obedient. But Father, we're asking as we do that, that You reveal Yourself more and more to us. That Father, we can see You. See Your love and Your majesty and Your grace. Father, that we can walk into worship, we can walk into our lives knowing that we have permanent joy because of Your love for us. Father, we may be here, some of us, and have not even started a journey. Lord, I want to pray for them right now. Lord, I want to pray for their hearts, that they will give their hearts to You, that they will begin the journey of loving You and being obedient because of their thankfulness. Father, help us to be as Peter. Allow our language to speak love and to speak hope and to speak joy. Father, let all corrupt, negative, bitter communication cease from our mouths. That we can represent You in everything that we are. That we can represent You in everything that we say. That we can represent You in everything that we do. So that, Father, You receive the glory. They will receive eternal life. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for your love and for your grace. Thank you for speaking to us and for caring for us and for creating us. Be with us this week. Be with our families. Protect us as we go out and live a life in obedience to you. That's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. As you make your way out, if you're a visitor this morning, all we ask is if you could drop your visitor card right in the offering. Other than that, we will see you next week. Pastor Bob will be back next week, so God bless you.